The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I'm still trying to figure out how you shut up and talk sports.
I mean, come on. It's very easy, Fred. You just close your mouth and then you talk sports.
And I'm baffled that Talk Sports Guy still exists. I really
Isn't
am.
Isn't it wild?
I mean, seriously, they picked up Deshaun Watson's fifth-year option. Let's break that down.
A big shock happened today. The Texans picked up a fifth-year option on Deshaun Watson. I never saw that coming.
Let's break that down, AJ. Let's get into the details.
Well, here's the deal. When you draft someone in the first round and they play for you for 4 years, the team then has an option to pay at a higher rate, mind you, than they've been paying for the first 4 years, but they have the option to lock that player in for a fifth year, thus the term fifth-year option. And the Texans have decided that Deshaun looks good enough that they will want him to play a fifth year as a Houston Texan. Is that a good breakdown?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, hour number 3-713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ Is The Real, at The Producer Nick. You can text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first 2 hours, that's all we did for 2 hours, was break down the Deshaun Watson contract being picked up.
Yeah, all right, that was a big breakdown.
That was a perfect breakdown. So, no, we're actually lots of good stuff, and all available on podcastarena.com, or at least hour number two will be shortly. Hour number one is already up, so go and check that out. But wait until after hour number three, because we got more good stuff for you.
That's right.
713 asks, is the G League really a better option for top prospects? More exposure in the NCAA for 1 year will make you more marketing money than disappearing in the G League for a year.
Now, if you're the number one draft pick, you're going to get your marketing money. And these guys are, it's easier for NBA teams to scout them than it is when you're in college. You're making money right away. I don't know if it's better for everybody. I think it's going to be an individual decision. I think it's going to be better for some people and not as good for some. But I think if there's a guy whose talent is clearly already there, I don't see why they need to go to college for a year and worry. I mean, if they're the kind of person who thinks, you know what, my craft is basketball, I'm not planning on ever getting a degree, why waste anyone's time with pretending? Like that matters. Like, you've got to keep up your grades or something. Just go start playing ball.
Yeah, and somebody asked, what if they went to the model that baseball uses? I've always liked that model.
Like, you either come straight out of high school or you play a couple of years?
You stay for 3 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that either. But, I mean, I don't know why the NBA hasn't gone with that. I think that's probably the ideal thing to do. But, I mean, you see how it is now with colleges. I mean, guys are transferring. Nobody can stay put for 3 years.
Yeah, that's true. What would be the odds ESPN would put Golic Jr. and Greenberg together? Jr. seems like a natural on radio. I have to be honest, I haven't ever actually heard Jr.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I don't know that they'd want to do that. From what I've heard, have you heard that Trey Wingo wants out of that morning show slot?
Yeah, I have heard that.
So my guess is the easy thing for them to do will be to have the Golic show. I don't know if that'll be any good or not, but that's not my problem. I don't know what the lineup's going to look like, because also today there are rumors that they're going to get rid of the Will Cain show, which not that they're going to get rid of it, but Will Cain could be going to Fox, and not Fox Radio, like Fox Sports Radio, like Fox News Fox. So And he's a guy who, you know, I talk to people at ESPN National pretty regularly, and he's a guy that they were extremely high on. And, you know, they tried to sell me on carrying his show, and I listened to his show. And for a national sports radio show, it's about as close to a show that I would want to carry as I could find. I mean, it was a pretty solid show. And so I think it's a big loss for them because they liked him. And maybe it helped me as a listener. Maybe it helped me because he's from Texas. But I thought he did a really good job. So losing Lebatard, thing, it's a big shakeup right now at ESPN.
Yeah, I always thought that Greenberg was – don't get me wrong. I understand the appeal to try to do something different. But – and, hell, I've thought about it. I've thought, especially now, that, you know, maybe I should punt on this and go do something different. And you know, but the reality is when you have something that's successful and Greeny was really good at it, I just don't think he was ever any good at television. And,
yeah,
you know – It that's okay. I mean, why not be the biggest star in the radio market and be successful that way? And I always thought that was his first and best destiny. So I would be glad to hear him back on radio. I think that's where he belongs. And he was great at it, I thought. And,
yep.
And that was such a good show with those two guys together. And I've talked about this before. When I first started, I was doing sports updates in the morning during Mike and Mike and then Colin. And boy, that there was such a incredible lineup back then where you had Mike and Mike, Colin, and then Tirico at one point and later SVP. I mean, that was, they had such a powerhouse lineup, but, you know, I'd like to see Greenberg get back into it. Did you see the, MLB is considering?
It's funny that you were doing the updates back then. Like I was doing updates, I think even before that. Like I don't know, maybe they were on in the mornings. But I remember doing Colin Cowherd updates, and Colin Cowherd was like a brand new guy. And Dan Patrick, I had to do updates on Dan Patrick's show, like when he was on radio. I mean, it's a long ass time ago, but yeah, it was. It's funny how much turnover those, you know, the networks have, and every network does have it.
Yeah, and that's just part of it. But
the Tony Kornheiser show was on when I started.
Oh wow, yeah, you started in radio before I did.
Yeah,
by what? Probably 7 or 8 years before I did.
I started in 2004.
Okay, so 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was That Kornheiser show was really popular for a while. And, you know, it's interesting how the dynamic has changed. I don't know if they've de-emphasized radio. Because it seems like Fox Sports doesn't really care about their radio product. They just want people on TV.
Yeah.
And it's a different approach. So I think that, which, you know, it works for them, but, you know, I think ESPN's kind of gone that way too, but I still think they've got some really good people. It'll be interesting to see what happens. So I don't know if you saw this.
It's always funny to me that people put so much emphasis on, you know, these network shows like ESPN specifically, because most major markets that are carrying ESPN radio do what we do, and they carry ESPN radio when they don't have local on. So. I mean, to the average guy, it doesn't really matter if Mike Greenberg's good from 1 to 3 or, you know, if Dan Lebatard does a good radio show or not, because most stations cover it up with local anyway.
Yeah, but I think where you get it is on satellite.
A
lot of people listen to those shows on satellite. And, yeah, and so I think that, I mean, I think that's more the direction of the average listener for ESPN. When we first started, Mike and Mike was the biggest thing on the station. I mean, it was bigger than the afternoon show. It was bigger than everything. And
we didn't carry it. We didn't have a morning show.
No.
Because Mike and Mike was our morning show because it had great ratings.
Yeah. And when they came to town, they like sold out House of Blues. It was crazy.
Yep.
But you know, when you, and to me, if you got something going like that, you try to keep it going as long as you can. And I get that what they were together for 11 years. That probably gets old.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you know, it's like breaking up the Chicago Bulls. It's like, you know what? We can win another year. Let's do
it.
So, I got a little baseball for you when we come back.
All right.
The latest proposal, which is different from the divisions that they talked about, that we talked about a few weeks ago. But apparently, they believe that the season will start in June and no later than early July.
Okay.
They plan to play at least 100 games, all within a division, and the plan would include three divisions based solely on geography, allowing teams to play in their home parks without fans and reducing travel. So when we come back, I'll tell you who the Astros would be in a division with.
Okay.
And I think it'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm totally down with these different ideas that Major League Baseball's having, because I just think obviously it's going to be a different season. So do something different and fun, and we'll see what you think about that when we come back. All right, let's take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're having a good one. And if you're not, sorry about that. We'll do our best to try to make it fun. Before we get to this baseball alignment thing, which I think is very interesting. Just want to mention, if you guys are in a position to do so, please support all of our advertisers right now. You know, they're the reason we're able to stay on air, and we've got a lot of cool ones and a lot of new ones. And if you hear an ad for a place, give it a try. If you enjoy the station, you enjoy what you're hearing, please help us out a little bit. And that's, you know, that's what I'm going to do. We've got some new places on. I'm going to try them out and hopefully be able to tell you how good they are. So just please do that. So basically what they're going to do, AJ, is three divisions.
Okay.
All 100 games would be within the division, which I kind of like. So the East would be the Yankees and Mets, the Red Sox, the Nationals, the Orioles, the Phillies, the Pirates, the Jays, the Rays, and the Marlins.
Okay.
I think that
you
would be
Braves,
an interesting
right?
race. What's that?
You said the Braves?
No, I did not say the Braves.
That's weird. Okay.
The Braves would be in the Central.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not that geographical, let's be honest.
Then
basically, all those...
Yeah, I mean, why would you do this? And why would you set it up and say it's based on geography and then... I mean, Atlanta being one of the well, okay. It doesn't make much sense, but okay.
Well, I mean, geographically it kind of does, because the Central would be the Cubs and the White Sox, the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Royals, the Reds, the Indians, the Twins, the Braves, and the Tigers.
Okay.
So really all you're doing is, you know, they're kind of just combining divisions based on the American League and National League with some tweaks. Here's the interesting one. The West, which would have the Mariners, your Astros, the Rangers, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, the A's, the Giants, and the LA Angels and Dodgers.
Yeah.
How much fun would that be to have a bunch of Dodgers-Astros games?
Did you not mention the Rockies in that one?
Yeah, I did mention the Rockies.
Oh, okay. Yes. And you said the Royals would be in the Central?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, yeah, obviously, the West is going to have – they're going to have the toughest time with travel and stuff, period. You know, I still think the smart idea would have been to do the Arizona League and the Grapefruit League, like the Cactus and Grapefruit League setup. But, you know, this would work too.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, from an Astros and Rangers perspective, it ain't helping with travel.
No.
And that's still a lot of travel to go to L.A. and San Francisco.
It's a lot of travel. Listen, anytime the Astros go anywhere but the Rangers, it's a good haul.
Yeah.
I think geographically, the next closest team to the Astros after the Rangers is the Kansas City Royals. So it's a good haul, no matter which way you're going. Or maybe it's the Braves. Either way, right. It ain't close.
Or maybe the Diamondbacks. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think the Diamondbacks are a good – I mean, you got to go all the way across Texas and all the way across New Mexico. Yeah, I mean, either way, it's a long way off. So, I mean, travel's going to be a bitch for the Astros or the Rangers no matter where they got to go.
Yeah, I guess it would be less if it were – well, I don't know. I mean, if they were in the Central – with all those teams, it wouldn't be as bad because then your farthest trip is probably Chicago,
right?
Which is what,
or Minnesota. Minnesota is probably your farthest trip,
and that's still under 2.5 hours on a flight.
Yep.
But we know what Seattle is, and Oakland and San Francisco. Those are long flights.
Long flights.
You know, but I mean, somebody's got to do it, and they've already got the Rangers and Astros in the AL West, so. I think it actually is a pretty good plan. Now, I don't know how the playoffs would work, how many teams from each division.
I'm guessing you'd probably take, I don't know, maybe, what do you do? You take the top two from each division and two wild cards?
Probably.
And just have an 8-team playoff?
Yeah, although I guess they were going to expand the playoffs anyway. I don't know if they go to that model.
I can't imagine they would now. It doesn't make sense right now. It makes more sense to just have it simple. Like either have three division champions and a wild card, or just have 8 teams. I think a 4-team or 8-team playoff. You don't want to waste a bunch of time with wild card games and things like that, like play-in games.
Right.
You just want to get right into it. So I would imagine they'd have either a 4-team or 8-team playoff bracket.
Yeah, it doesn't talk about the playoffs with this breakdown, but I mean, I think it makes sense. And you know, if all the games are within division, you know, if you're only doing a 100-game season, that's very doable.
Yeah.
Hockley Dan asked, "Do you think this will lead to a league-wide DH for each team, or do you think they'll implement the DH
rule?" Yeah,
it will. Yeah,
it'll be DH everywhere.
Yeah, which I wish they'd just do one way or the other: either get rid of it or have it for everybody. But 832 says, always thought the NFL would be better realigned by geography. Could you imagine the Saints, Texans, Cowboys, and Falcons in the same division?
That'd be cool.
For fans. Yeah, but they're never breaking up that Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, Redskins.
Yeah. The Cowboys throw a wrench in all of their plans with that because the Cowboys geographically don't fit into their division, but those three rivalries are three of the best rivalries in football. That's why they need to be more like the Texans and have no natural rivals.
Right. The Texans are kind of the Arizona Cardinals of the AFC. I mean, it's basically you could put them anywhere.
Yeah.
And everybody would just shrug. Early on, when they were first bringing the Texans into existence, there was talk of them going to the NFC and being in a division with the Saints and the Falcons. I don't remember exactly how it was going to break down, but I think they were going to move, Carolina to the AFC and then basically put them in that division, which would have been kind of cool, but because they don't really have, they didn't have rivals at the time because the Oilers came out of a division with the Steelers and the Browns and those guys. So, you know, that, and that's the thing. With no history or anything like that, you kind of put them wherever, and nobody cares. Tyler says, one of your advertisers, Pepperoni's, has some really good sandwiches. It's definitely one you should try out. Yeah, that's one of the ones that when I heard the commercial, I'm like, okay, I'm definitely going to hit those guys up at some point, you know, over the next couple of days. So, yeah, I mean, happy to hear some of these guys on the air and really looking forward to trying them out. Appreciate them supporting our station right now.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. The 409 says, hey, Fred, any interest in a side bet that donates to the Beaumont Food Bank? Haven't played yet, but I think I can take you. $10 extra in PayPal or whatever to the bank. You say on radio who wins the bust out of the ranking. All that goes to the Beaumont Food Bank.
Bust out of the ring. What are we talking about? Like,
I have no idea what this guy's talking about.
Maybe he's talking about like a who lasts longer in the poker tournament thing.
Yeah, listen, man. You can call me a wuss all you want. I don't ever do bets with listeners over anything. And you know,
except when you ate a crow.
Well, that wasn't even a listener bet. That was just, hey, if we do this, I'll eat.
Oh, you made it with yourself. That's right.
Yeah. So there wasn't a bet with anybody. But I mean, that's. You know, call me a wuss all you want, but I'm not going to apologize for how much I've already donated to the food bank. So, you know, how about, tell you what, I'll challenge you to do this. How about if you cash, you donate half your winnings, just like I did. And then you can, and that way, congratulations. You'll be doing something good.
Yep.
Or are you a wuss? Just throwing that out there. But no, I don't it's just kind of pointless to do bets with listeners. I never have and I never will. And I've been consistent about that from the beginning. Especially because, oh, well, you said the Saints are going to be good. I bet you they don't do this. Like, well, go online and bet the under. There's plenty of places where you can get your bet on. You know, just proving you're better than me, congratulations. A lot of people are. More so than those that aren't, I would say. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I don't know if you saw this. There's a poll about concerts, which is something I've been kind of concerned about, how those things will go. Apparently, Reuters did a poll on, you know, when people would go back to concerts, movie theaters, or live theater performances. 32% said they would wait for a vaccine before going to any of those.
I think that's the smart move.
And 55% said those events should not resume before a vaccine is available.
Hmm.
Doesn't really surprise me. I mean, honestly, I don't know how I feel about those things. I mean, I hate big crowds anyway, so I don't need a big excuse to not go.
Yeah, but you do love going out to watch live music. I mean, it's you like going to bars. I mean, it's going to be a lot bigger change for you than it is for me.
I mean, it's not going to be that big of a change because, like I said, I think I'll go out less often when it comes to bars. But a concert, it's a different animal. I mean, you know, you're talking about thousands of people in one small little venue, and you know, I was supposed to be going to see Shinedown on Saturday, and they moved it to September. I don't know if I'll be ready to go then. And plus, I've already seen them 7 times. So, all right, let's take a quick break. Got some other stuff to get to. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's time for some straight talk.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. So a couple things from the people. When will the Mahomes contract happen, and what do you think it'll be? I think it – I would be surprised if they don't get it done before the start of the season. And I think it'll probably average around $40 million a year. Now, the cap hit won't be that because he'll get a – I think he'll get a significant boost this year and next year. But I'd be surprised if that's not what it winds up being, the highest paid quarterback in football.
I mean, I think he should be the highest paid player in football. It shouldn't even be close. I mean, based on merit, right?
Yeah. I mean, for what he's accomplished in
so
his
quickly.
Time in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. MVP, Super Bowl MVP, won a Super Bowl. Yeah, but I would guess that's the number. That'll come in at an average of about 40 a year. I'm guessing the cap hit'll be in the 36 to 37 million range. But yeah, but I bet it gets done before the start of the season. And if I'm the Texans, I wait and let Mahomes set the market so that I can come in and say, all right, Deshaun, you're not Mahomes, but we like you. Here's what we want to pay you.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I think it'd be more competitive if you give individual teams the option to either have a DH or the pitcher batting between each game. I think it'd be a lot more intriguing that way instead of
maybe so, but it wouldn't
way.
Be easier. They want easier.
No, and almost no one is going to choose to have their pitcher hit. Maybe the Astros would let Greinke hit.
Right.
But, you know, is that better than having...
I mean, specifically when you're trying to... Like, you're trying to take care of your pitchers over the course of a season. You know, you don't know what their workload is going to be given a shortened season. Like, you don't want to – you want to make it as simple and easy as possible on pitchers and pitching coaches. So if you can just take that one thing out of their hands, it's all the easier.
And as good a hitter as Greinke is, would you rather have him or Alvarez batting?
You'd rather have Yordan.
Yeah, so that's –
And really, even good hitters, and Greinke's one of the best hitting pitchers there is. With the exception of Ohtani, there's not a hitter in the league who's better than their team's 10th best hitter.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lamont asked something that I've been thinking about a lot. Do you think when the world reopens, Vegas will be okay as normal, or shall I expect a ton of deals to get people back?
I don't know what's going to happen in Vegas. I think they're going to. I know they want to get back. I don't think Vegas is ever going to be normal again.
Not for a long time. And I think on the good side, you're good. Yeah, you'll get some incredible deals. I think they'll go back to comping rooms and stuff like that, which I think all these casinos will, which they should. But they didn't need to because the whole world was going there and. And it didn't matter where you stayed. The place is always packed. But I think it's going to be a while before that happens again. I think they're going to want you to come back and gamble.
Yep.
And from a consumer standpoint, yeah, I think they're going to comp a lot more rooms. And, you know, that's great if you want to go back. I'm not in any hurry to go back to Vegas. And I'm also not in any big rush to go play in the World Series this year, even if they do it in October. It's kind of like, you know what? I might want to hold off for a year. I mean, Assuming I live another year. But, you know, I know we, it seems like a year ago, the last time we went to Vegas, and it was, what, January, I guess?
Something like that.
Yeah, but.
February? All right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was February. But it sure seems like a lot longer than that, doesn't it? I mean, hell, it seems like a year ago I was sitting in a damn Roughnecks game.
Yep.
And it's just amazing how much the world changed so fast. And I do think that it's going to be a struggle for Vegas, but I wouldn't worry too much about them because all those places have been printing money for so long. I think they'll be fine. But, yeah, I like the idea that you'll get good deals. Nick, what about you? You going to go back to Vegas?
I mean, I'm probably going to have the same hesitation that you have. I mean, just from the cards alone and everybody. Like, how do you sanitize cards? Like, how does that work? I mean, is there a process for that? I mean.
Well, and
yeah, I mean, you can change decks after every. I mean, after every shoe, you change the deck. I mean, that's possible.
I guess it's. I guess it's not that costly considering the revenue they've generated in the past. But I mean, I'm tempted for Vegas just as much as anybody else, and I'd be very hesitant to come back. And I think it's going to be the same in stadiums with sports. So.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it is kind of be the same, and you know, and I've joked about this. The last time we were in Vegas, you know, I'm playing that silly little Excalibur tournament, and the friggin' chips are stuck together. They're so gross, and you know, I mean, that's something that long term, I'm going to have a different opinion, right? I mean, I don't know if I want to go sit and shuffle chips that have got snot all over them.
Yep.
Or whatever else people have been putting on those things that get them.
I've heard something
together.
About having two dealers at every table, one whose job is solely to sanitize chips.
Huh. That's interesting. I also think if you're going to do stuff like that, I mean, poker's already taken a beating in Vegas. I bet that we're going to lose more poker rooms.
Oh, almost certainly.
They make so much more money off blackjack and the machines. And if you have to do something like that and add extra people so that you can sanitize chips, I would bet that we would lose maybe half the poker rooms there.
Yep.
Because it wouldn't make any financial sense. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And Stacks asks, what do you think of this plan for the NBA to resume? Last 3 weeks of June training camp, go straight to the playoffs. All games and series in Vegas. Each team has their own hotel. Playoffs start the 4th of July until NBA Finals around Labor Day, 2 months in and out. I think that would work. I also, in all honesty, I think the NBA, and as much as it pains me to say it, the NHL, they need to just say, okay, this year is over.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you could just start
the playoffs like in May.
Yeah.
And have a shortened playoffs with like, I don't know if it's single elimination or how you do it, but I mean, they're getting close to that date, especially with, you know, the NBA Players Association saying they need at least 3 weeks of ramp up time. You know, that seems like a long time to me, but it is what it is.
I think what would be cool if, and I'll throw the NHL into this too, is you have an Olympic-style tournament where you have like some preliminary games to set up seeding, and then you go to a one-game elimination tournament. And I think that would be kind of cool because, you know, your good teams will get in there and they'll get a decent seeding, but with a one-game elimination, man, almost anything can happen.
Yeah.
And you'll see some fun upsets. You'll see, you know, because hey, the Lakers or the Bucks have an off night. Guess what? They're gone.
Yep.
And I like that concept. I think that could work. And people say, oh well, it's not like winning the real title. It's like, well, same thing I say about everything else. The world's changed, man. And you know, I think it would be fun, but I also think in the long run, it's better for those leagues to say, you know what, let's regroup, let's plan for next season. And, you know, I kind of think baseball should be doing the same thing, but I know how important it is to everybody that they want to get back and you know, honor those TV contracts and do that kind of stuff. But at this point, you know, I think the, and obviously, it'd be great to have sports back because we're a sports talk station and run a sports website. But realistically, I think the fall is probably the soonest that we should be thinking about any of this stuff. But
yeah,
you know, I know there's a lot of money involved with TV, so they'll try to do something. All right, let's take a quick break. Damn, only one segment to go.
That's it.
It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A couple things to remind you of. We will be doing one last charity poker tournament on Saturday, 2 o'clock. $60, 10 of which goes to Kids Meals here in Houston and the Southeast Texas Food Bank over in Beaumont. And we've had over 100 players for the first three. We've raised over $5,000. Hope to raise some more here and have our biggest one yet. And it'll be Saturday, so it's real easy. Just go to sportsmap.com under the editor's picks, and it will show you how to get signed up. That simple. And also, if you'd like a copy of the sequel to Jesus Just Left Chicago, shoot me an email, faour975@gmail.com. If you can pay for it, great. If you can't, I don't care. Just give you something to read. All right, let's do a little Hey Man Bleep That. Mr. Hoffman, would you like to go first?
I can't go first because my computer died and I just plugged it back in, so I'll need to go last so it gets back pulled up.
All right, well, I will go first then. From the Daily Mirror, man dies drinking cleaner he thought was drug championed by Trump to beat coronavirus. Gary Linnaeus and his wife Wanda, both in their 60s, drank chloroquine phosphate last month after confusing it for hydroxychloroquine. Gary died and Wanda was left in critical condition. Okay, guys, stop swallowing stuff you're not supposed to. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Nick.
I mean, well, that goes without saying. But for one thing, if this stuff actually worked, then getting it from a doctor in the proper dosages is the way to do it. And to just drink it or any of this silver crap that people are trying to sell you on, I mean, just if you get it, go to the doctor and do what they tell you and take what they give you. Stop this stuff. And you know what? I'm not mourning an idiot for drinking that crap thinking it was going to save his life. So to that I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
How about you, Nick? You got one?
I don't have one. I totally forgot, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. All right, Hoffman, are you back up and running?
I'm almost up.
Because I can always do a second one. I've got
you do a second one. Mine's being a bitch.
Okay. This is another Rona related one, where a teacher in Trenton is caught on tape telling students she hopes they die of the coronavirus. A math teacher, of all people, was caught on video shouting at a group of teenagers playing football in the park that they should die a long, painful death from the coronavirus.
That's not sweet.
What's that?
That's not very sweet.
It's not, but these guys were violating the whole social distancing thing. And you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with if you see a whole group of people doing something they're not supposed to, saying, I hope you get the Rona and die.
Okay.
So I'm exonerating this teacher and saying that, you know what? It's okay. I'm sorry you were caught on tape. But the fact that you're in trouble over that, I will say,
hey, man, f*** that.
Mine, airline related, and obviously not as many people are flying now, but the TSA on Monday said that it found 58 guns at checkpoints from March 22nd to April 22nd, which is, I mean, when you think about the 95% drop in travelers, last year they found 346 guns over the same amount of time, but obviously with 20 times the amount of people flying. So that means that the gun per traveler is up about three times the rate of what it was a year ago. Guys, the rules aren't that lax, okay? And the big concern is, I wonder if there are always this many guns being flown and the TSA is usually just not that good at their jobs, or people just suddenly think they can fly with guns. Either way, I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
I wonder. Yeah,
puts me in no rush to fly, certainly.
Well, I wonder if it was just because people were trying to get home and maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a good reason why people would be carrying more guns around on airplanes, which I understand how that can happen. Like you accidentally leave your gun in the bag or something. I mean, I've not my gun, but I've almost left weed in my carry-on before I remembered, oh, wait, I've got this in here. So I can see where it would be an occasional thing, but that much? Just seems a lot.
Yep.
And I hate to break it to you, but there's always guns on airplanes, like if a federal agent's flying or somebody like that.
Yeah, but that's not just people trying to slip it in through their carry-on bag.
No, no. I mean, I can excuse some of it as just accidental, but not that many. Why are you trying? I mean, I don't get it. Do you really think the TSA is just going to say, oh, yeah, go ahead, take a gun on a plane, no problem. You know, glad it's part of your carry-on.
Yep. Not wise, guys.
All right, well, yeah, crazy. Nick, have you ever accidentally left something in a bag?
Not something I can think of off the top of my head right now, no. Probably not.
Nick has to be extra careful.
I do.
Exactly.
Especially when I travel with AJ, because he's definitely going to bring that to light at some point. But I don't recline no more, AJ. You would not on domestic flights, that is. I'm no longer a recliner. You guys have shamed me into not doing that. So
good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. And now, ideally, hopefully, the karma will come back to you and fewer people will recline on you.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. Although I don't complain if someone reclines.
Oh, I do.
I know.
I don't complain. I just dig my knees into their back and shake violently.
Yeah. You tell me. I'm not that mean. Plus, I'm not as big as you, so.
You're close. Oh, you mean as tall as me. Okay.
Well, that just goes to show that it's an education thing. You never realize that
people
it was
don't
offensive.
Realize.
Yeah, and we've gone out of our way to try to educate people, and the ones who refuse to do it are just selfish bastards, and I hope they get the Rona and die. So...
It's a PSA, really, is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, I paid my ticket. I can recline all I want. Yeah, okay. You're also the guy not wearing a mask and out there coughing on everybody and spreading the disease. So
yeah, you're the worst.
So I feel like, and I guess I need a ruling on this, is it okay for me to wish the Rona and death upon people like that?
I think it's not okay to wish death. It's not exactly.
Well,
it's not. I don't know. Maybe not.
If we had,
I don't know. I mean, I think you can privately wish it. Maybe not publicly wish it.
Because if we had fewer of those people on the planet, wouldn't it be a better planet?
Probably.
I mean, I'm just doing simple math here. If those people were to just die, then we'd have fewer plane recliners. We'd have fewer people out having parties right now, without masks. And maybe that would help the rest of us.
Maybe so.
I don't know. I don't want to wish death on anyone. But then again, death's coming for all of us anyway. If you're a seat recliner, how useful is your life? Are you really somebody that anybody's going to miss?
Nah. We'll get over it.
All right. I'm kidding before people start. I can't believe you said that. I'm just joking. Trying to have a little fun here.
Are
on
you,
Tuesday.
Though?
Well, I mean, I'm joking about something that I probably have thought in my head.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's all right. I won't judge you.
Yeah, well, like I said, just having a little fun on a Tuesday. I mean, what else are we going to do during this Rona mess? Well, I'm actually not feeling that great. I don't think it's the Rona. But I'm kind of feeling a little bit, little stuffy, but nothing, there's no symptoms like Rona symptoms. Probably, yeah, well, hey, if I get it and die, dude, how much would that help ratings?
That'd be pretty good.
That would be pretty good. I'm a team player here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You imagine the first show after I die?
That's true. I'd put on a sad face.
Well, yeah, you'd have to fake it, but, you know, we know you can do that. But,
hey, yeah, by the way, imagine. Happy birthday to Michael Carroll, one of the guys who makes a click behind the scenes here. And he's probably way too busy to listen to this show, so he doesn't even know we're saying it. But happy birthday to him anyway. Good dude.
Yeah, he's a really good dude, one of many good dudes that we have at the station, but does a lot of stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but he's invaluable. So happy birthday, Michael. What is he?
Hey, good job today,
now,
Nick.
20?
Good job, guys. Good show. Talk to you. I guess I'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Mr. Sharara. Always a pleasure. Hoffman, great job today, as always. Nick, great job. That was okay. You know, give myself.
You've been worse.
Well, yeah, I'll give myself a D+ for today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Until then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.